This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Extra Point Show from the Just Call Jed Studios. Injured? Call Jed.com. WGR Sports Radio 550.
J.J. Paterka, Tage Thompson. He's making a lane. Thompson dishes off. Scores! What a return feed from Paterka as Tage Thompson buries it. That was beautiful. And the Sabres have taken a 3-0 lead here in Ottawa. You said be patient.
Yep.
You said be patient.
Yep.
It was one of Rob's keys to the game, actually.
Oh, man.
And that makes it even better. Like, that's why Dan Dunleavy brought that up. Dan Dunleavy, Rob ran the call there as Tage Thompson and J.J. Paterka combine for probably one of the nastier goals that you're going to see, especially to end the season. And Tage is already cutting through, like, a hot knife through butter. And then J.J. taps his stick as he's hanging around on the right side and Ullmark's left. And the defenseman didn't know what to do. Like, number three for Ottawa, he just, like, he starts trying to chase Paterka, but then he goes inside for where Thompson is. Then he gets turned around, and he tries to go back toward Paterka. Before number three on Ottawa turns around...
That would be Nick Jensen.
Nick Jensen. The puck has gone to Paterka, and then back to Thompson and into the net before Jensen turns around.
Yeah, it's a perfect play.
He is looking at fans when that pass goes back and forth.
It's a perfect play. It's a gorgeous goal. Good for Tage's 39th on the year.
Speaking of fans on that goal, by the way, there's a screenshot of Tage after that goal, like leaning against the glass, waiting for everyone to skate to him.
Yeah.
And there's an Ottawa fan like shooting daggers at him.
He's shooting like I thought he was shooting down. Daggers at JJ at first of like, why did you make me pass this? But like his facial expression was interesting on that goal.
Oh man.
Of okay, that was nasty. Like you should be hype, and he really wasn't. But
it was still an unbelievable goal. Again, good for Tage's 39th on the year. He is, I think the rate he is playing, he's gonna get well past 40 here.
Let's go for 50.
Let's get nuts.
I
like it.
Let's get nuts.
They are playing well. We've had this conversation a lot this week of just is it like the last few years where they play really well to end the year and then it falls apart to start the next year? I will say, though, seeing guys like Jack Quinn go on a 5-game point streak really to sort of salvage what was a bad year by him.
It is interesting how streaky this team is, especially this year. When I say streak, you think 13. They also started this month with a 6-game losing streak. They have now won 5 of their last 6, almost to make up for that folly.
Yep.
But where does it put them? No longer in last place in the Eastern Conference. And I say it more about screw you, Boston, more than anything. But I also think that it has to do with, good, Give me something. This is something we've been saying over the last 2 weeks that really is kind of the question of what do you want to see from them? I want to see something that I can go ahead and go, we can have a different conversation about blank.
Mm-hmm.
We can have a different conversation about Jack Quinn. We can have a different conversation about James Reimer. We can have a different conversation about J.J. Paterka. We can have, like, and more of that is, like, is he a true fixture on this team, or is he going to be someone that you need to trade to help with an upgrade?
Mm-hmm.
We can have the same conversation about adding a top four defenseman. You need to do it. That is the same conversation. I want to have a different conversation about Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, but we're not going to see him for a little bit here. Saturday, they'll probably play Reimer again. And then Luukkonen probably gets the back-to-back.
Yeah, Reimer, you have to play the hot hand. 33 saves yesterday off 35 shots against. I'm at a point, too. One-year deal, bring him back. He might be your veteran presence that you're looking for. He's playing really well. The team plays well with him in net recently. And as I brought up, it kind of all comes down to Levi. If Levi can come up after having, you've mentioned about a year and a half. I'm throwing out two.
Yeah.
But about a year and a half in Rochester where he's played excellent hockey, and you add that top four defenseman, it's not a ton of moves to all of a sudden get very excited about him.
I don't think it has to do with Levi at all. I think they'll start him in Rochester next year, point blank, period. Because, ready? Yeah, he's looked stellar in Rochester.
Mm-hmm.
What did he do in Buffalo this year?
No, it's been bad. That's the frustrating part with Levi. It's not been average to, okay, we can work with this. It's been, oop, nope, go right back down.
It's down. We need to make sure that we don't ruin him.
Yep.
They're starting in Rochester. The question is, can you rely on Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen to start more than like 40 games for you next year? And if my answer is no, I don't think James Reimer's the call.
Mm-hmm.
I think Reimer is good for giving you a solid 25 in a season. If I need 40 out of a goaltender, I need more than that.
Yeah.
I need more than Reimer.
Levi this year, by the way, in his nine games with Buffalo, save percentage well under 900, 872. His goals against, 412. But that's the thing, is when he comes up to Buffalo, it has been bad.
Yeah. And oddly enough, the thing that we kind of like snarkingly say is Devin Levi's greatest impact is that it pisses UPL off, mm-hmm. and he plays better. Because Levi in net this year was, I don't want to say the word travesty, but I might. And yet, at the same time, he has a save percentage that is relatively close to Luukkonen this year.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it still has to do with, I don't trust my starting goaltender on the penalty kill.
At all.
I don't trust Luukkonen on the penalty kill. And if I have special teams that drag my team to hell again next year, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Was that what? Well, it's been the last 2 years. Yes. I've used it the last 2 years.
That's what I'm
saying.
They've
been harmful to the roster and how they've been able to perform.
It has lost them seasons.
Yeah.
2 years ago is a lost season. This year is a lost season because mm-hmm. of what could have been. Last year was just kind of dreadful all around. Last year was they could not string three wins together to save their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I look at this team and I go, they do put stretches together. They do have win streaks of three or even more. They do win, say, 5 of 6. They put those stretches together now this year. But what's the difference? Say they go on this miracle run. And they fall short ultimately, right? The 13-game streak is prorated and adjusted for a worse version of Wild Card 2, but also just as harmful as the 8-game winless streak 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Damn.
But ultimately, I guess
it's
my thing
is... the fact that it's adjusted
yeah.
for how bad the East is this year for Wild Card 2.
Mm-hmm.
The Sabres are still out of it.
They're still out of it.
Because that losing streak was adjusted to be that much uglier. If it's an 8-game losing streak and they win a couple of games, they're in a playoff spot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, say they win two games out of that 13. We are in a much different tone about the Buffalo Sabres today.
They're not ultimately that convincing, but we don't care, right? I mean, like,
we don't care.
And that's fine.
Because they're in the mix mm-hmm. for something that they had no business being in. Because, again, eight games, that's five results that I have a chance to change.
Mm-hmm.
And say, ready? I change one of them. That's 2 points up. And 2 points up, yeah, that you say 2 points up, that's not that great. 2 points up puts you right above Pittsburgh and Philly, who you're projected to be ahead of anyway based on A, games in hand, and B, how you're playing. If you change two results, say it's an eight-game losing streak, and those other five games, they win two of them.
Mm-hmm.
You're already ahead of the Islanders again. You have to vault Detroit, the Rangers, the Blue Jackets, and the Canadiens. Can you do it? You have eight games left. Find a way.
Yep.
And especially with how you're playing right now, find a way.
Mm-hmm. Because you're playing well. Everything seems to be clicking. Go do it. Now, it does make the beginning of March much more painful.
Oh, yes.
The six-game losing streak to open up what would be maybe the biggest month in the last 2 years. That would have not been great.
But you see the team now dialing in.
Yeah.
And the difference in 4 points is... it's in reach.
Yeah, and maybe that six-game losing streak itself doesn't happen because they are closer in reach.
Around the league, I'm looking and going, you guys seriously let the Sabres back in the conversation?
Mm-hmm.
But that's because there were two outcomes changed in a 13-game losing streak. 4 points is the difference. And that turns into, you let a team with an eight and a six-game losing streak
get back in it.
Get back in it? Are you kidding me?
But ultimately, I guess where I get frustrated almost immediately with that conversation is, number one, we've had it before,
yes,
where these losing streaks have ended seasons, but also, even to the goaltender point, where do they even go?
And that's my problem, that, like, I'm critical of Kevin Adams. I do not envy his position here of trying to figure out what to do at goaltender.
Because UPL last year, for half a year, showed you he was a number one goalie. He did. He has shown you how great he is. Devon Levi was historically good.
For a whole year.
For a whole year. Thank you.
He showed you.
For Devon Levi, arguably one of the greatest college goalies of all time. And then when he's in Rochester, he's equally as great. But when he comes up to Buffalo, we've already talked about it, he's been really bad.
Yes.
And then UPL this year, when, as you mentioned it, when the specter of Devon Levi seems to vanish and go away, he's been dreadful. And so, well, yes, they are bad moves. I think at the time you'd argue they really haven't been. At the time, you would argue, hey, okay, Levi. We took a call, I think, earlier this week.
Yes.
About him and the idea of bringing him up and how bad that decision was. I don't think that decision is made unless Levi has those seven games he did when the last time the Sabres were close to the playoffs and making that run.
He makes that run toward the
playoffs.
He goes
5-2 and is their best goalie.
Yes.
And I think that's what solidified... you're coming up. You were ready for the spotlight, clearly.
And Luukkonen.
And then he wasn't.
And Luukkonen's numbers were dreadful that year, too.
Mm-hmm.
He played 33 games. He started 32 of them, and he went 17-11. But it was a 3.61 goals against, which is worse than what it is this year.
Yeah.
Like, it was not looking pretty. He was, because early on that year, he was like kind of getting wins, and you're like, how?
It's just,
but then ultimately, he's so bad that mm-hmm. Levi comes in straight out of college and is their best goaltender. And then Luukkonen has a career year
mm-hmm.
on 51 starts. This year with 52 starts, his numbers are back to where they were 2 years ago. His save percentage is worse.
Mm-hmm.
His goals against is better, 3.23 against a 3.61. But his save percentage is worse. And now if you look over the stretch of his entire career, he's an 8.98 save percentage goaltender in his career right now.
With that, the last year being the true outlier.
Do I trust a player like this with another full season as the starter? Unquestioned.
Mm-hmm. No. Well, and that's where ultimately my kind of point comes to here, and I don't really know the answer. Where do you go from here? What do you do that gives any sort of confidence? Because not just in the fan base, but in the roster. They can score like the wind. Every team around them in the East, they have way more goals for. But it's goaltending that they're not getting consistent enough. That's where James Reimer, at 37 years old, looks significantly better than Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. But because of, you know, the three goaltender era that we just came out of, you can't go back into that.
It is disgusting that they're fourth in the East in goals for.
Yeah.
Fourth.
But you can't go back to the three goaltender era. You can't. But you signed UPL, and I still don't really blame that contract. He gave you a career year. Goalies are weird. You sign it when you got it. It's like pitching in baseball. You get it when you can get it.
And you're not going to let youth walk out the door for nothing.
No.
So Lukanen's career year put them in a bad spot, and in an awkward spot, because Levi showed he wasn't quite ready.
Mm-hmm.
And Luukkonen played the best season of his career. And how easy is it to acquire a starter that can then, like, but also, if you're getting that kind of guy, Levi's not touching the ice for you ever again, probably.
I think you have to trade Levi if you're going to go make that big split. Remember what last year, the Connor Hellebuck discussions?
Yes.
People didn't want to discuss, like, the idea that, no, if you get Hellebuck, you're trading Levi.
Yes.
That experiment's done. He goes to Winnipeg, you get Hellebuck. You don't get both. But I don't really think there is no goaltender trade idea up there right now.
John Gibson was the other name, and that's a shorter-term one.
Mm-hmm.
But again, Anaheim's not going to do that.
No.
Matter of fact, they did the opposite. They claimed James Reimer to start the year because Gibson was coming back from injury. If the Sabres didn't rent James Reimer out and Devon Levi ends up starting in Rochester to begin with,
mm-hmm.
you have a chance to alter a 2-7 record. What did I tell you about the points race?
Yeah.
If you alter, say you get to average 4-4-1, it's 5 points.
Mm-hmm.
You are right behind the Rangers and Blue Jackets, and you're 4 points away from Montreal. Every little bit matters.
And perfectly honest, going back to that losing streak, the Colorado game, which I know our Paul Hamilton...
Which Colorado game?
Well, the first one, that one where they blow the lead the whole thing. I know Paul
they
Hamilton has,
regulation.
Yeah, has mentioned pretty openly that like that's the night the Sabres season ended. It was early, but realistically looking back at it, because then they do go on a lengthy losing streak, including losing the next game, Winnipeg, 3-2. Another regulation loss, but a one-goal game.
Because when the losing streak started, it was kind of promising of losses.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were against a couple of teams in ways that, like, it was 1-0 against Minnesota. Luukkonen shined, but they just could not get a goal.
Yep.
And then Vancouver, they stole a point that they had no business mm-hmm. getting. Dylan Cousins takes a penalty. They relinquish the lead, and then Cousins makes up for it and helps them force overtime. Then they don't touch the puck in overtime, and yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. They lose to the Islanders because what else is new? And then Colorado happens.
Even that,
that's loss four on the losing streak.
Even the Minnesota game, that first loss, is that Thanksgiving Eve, I think?
Yeah.
They lose 1-0, and they're pelting the goalie with shots.
It was a mm-hmm. great game that they got goalied in. Luukkonen was great. It was just, you got out-dueled.
Yeah, puck luck.
Not even puck luck. You got out-dueled.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is.
Detroit, 5-6. You were leading that game 5-3 going into the third. You losing mm-hmm. a shootout.
Yep.
I mean, there's a few games here where it's not that impossible to say a little bit better goaltending. The team in the beginning of the year was horrendous at taking ill-timed penalties. Or, perfectly honest, my favorite thing, the power play being actively harmful.
Yep.
I don't think they need a teardown. Surprisingly, and while I would still probably, if you ask me now, fire the GM, they don't need a ton of moves to change. I just don't know where these moves are coming from. The goaltender is so difficult to acquire unless you have them.
The goaltender is difficult. What helps goaltenders while also helping the team make
right,
it, though?
The top four defensemen.
I need mm-hmm. a second pairing defenseman to pair with Owen Power so that he can kind of let loose a little bit. I need Power to be better defensively, too.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I saw a glimpse of that last night. There's a play where Shane Pinto gets around Samuelson, and he's about to cut around and try to get past Reimer, who's got the stick down, trying to do everything he can from an easy backhand shovel in.
Mm-hmm.
Who's there to interrupt having to lift the backhand? Owen Power.
Yep.
Power makes a great defensive play on this one that it's like, that's what we need to see consistently from you. Be there, making the right plays in your own zone because it's needed. I will not sit here and tell anyone that Owen Power is a problem or that they need to get rid of him. As a matter of fact, if you say that, you don't know ball.
I don't know puck, but yeah.
I'm saying it the way I'm saying it. But what I'm going to tell you, though, is I will agree that in his own end, you do need to be better.
He's got
to
be better. Yep.
He does have to be better. And what were people saying about Rasmus Dahlin at the start of his career in Buffalo? Mm-hmm. He needs to be nastier. He needs to be better defensively. That comes with time. Defensemen are not savants in their own end to start their career.
Mm-hmm.
They're not.
No.
It is a way of life. Aaron Ekblad was not Aaron Ekblad right away. Victor Hedman was not a dominant defenseman in his own end right away when he started off the jump at number 2 overall. These are natural things. Rasmus Dahlin, one of the most touted prospects, defensive prospects, in years. He was not good in his own end for a little while. Ralph Krueger almost killed his career.
Well, and but that's the thing, too. The Sabres themselves have not helped always the development of these guys, whether it be their line partners and having to do too much to make up for a bad player, bad coaching, and putting them in terrible spots.
So I'm going to tell people, like, if you're worried about Owen Power, I'm going to tell you don't. Settle down a little bit. The guy does have good impacts with scoring. And especially with puck distribution. He should be on the second power play, honestly.
You'd like to see it get better. That's one of my things, though, with coaching, too.
I think that's how it gets better.
That, I think, is an easy move to make. You switch up some of the coaching, especially with the special teams. You may be winning some of those games we mentioned in the 13-game losing streak, even without good goaltending, because you don't go 0-for-4 on the power play.
As a matter of fact, like defensively, Owen Power has not been a true mess of a player until like this year, really.
Mm-hmm.
He's been okay.
Yeah.
He's been great. But this year it's been bad.
Yep. This year has been bad.
This year you need him to be better based on what you're seeing this year.
Mm-hmm.
But do not come at me or anyone else for that matter and say that Owen Power needs to be traded or he needs to be moved on from. Because then I'm never going to take you seriously. And nor should anyone else. But he doesn't hit enough. If he's making smart plays with his stick, who cares? If he's making smart plays to body a person off, I'm not worried about it. Does he need to grow into his frame? Yes. And when I say that, I mean mentally grow into his frame.
Mm-hmm.
He's 22.
Yep.
Not everyone knows what to do with their body right away.
We
like
hear that a lot with Brandon Bean talking about Keon Coleman, who's just a year younger. 21 years old. Let's not forget that.
Yes. So let's settle down, take a breath, and see if Owen Power can actually grow into his role.
803-0550, the number to call. What are your thoughts on what the Sabres need to do? They win again. They're making it maybe interesting to end the year, but we've been there and done this before.
I hate it so much.
We've been there. We've done this.
I hate it so much.
We've read this book before, but what are your thoughts on what they need to do in this offseason or really even just maybe the rest of the year to maybe make this interesting? Again, 803-0550, the number to call. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR. Two continues to roll along here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer with you here. And today's show is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Let's go to the phones today and get connected to our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. As Jeff is with us. Jeff, you're on WGR.
Hey, great show, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, I want Marner, and I don't know why they signed Bryson. I think he sucks.
All right, let's go in reverse order here because I want to talk about – so Jacob Bryson, it's a seventh defenseman.
It's
a one-year deal.
Yeah.
Don't get too worked up about it. Maybe an eighth defenseman if they make the right moves throughout the offseason. Cool. Awesome. Whatever. Jeff, Mitch Marner, that's, you're where I live right now, man. That's my hill to die on, and I've got more evidence for you as to why. There might be a little more cash flow within the Pegula Sports Entertainment realm. They just had a loan forgiven that they had against the league. Yeah, you just perked up, didn't you, buddy?
Sal did bring that up yesterday. Ooh, that is right.
Yes. So, yeah, Josh is making a face. You made a face. Everyone listening now is just like, shut up, Derek.
It's going to be for a new Jumbotron.
I hate all of you.
Now there's two.
Now there's two. So ready? You take that money. Again, you shove Josh on a plane. Not Josh Schmidt, Josh Allen.
Distinction there.
Distinction. You shove.
I'll go along. I don't care.
Yeah, sure. Actually, shove both Joshes on the plane. And go, hey, you're a Bills fan. You know what it's like when this team can, when this area has a team that is successful. You could be that piece. You could be the piece. Is it the top of my priority list? No. Top four defenseman. Absolutely have to do that. If you have to give up a top six player in order to acquire a top four defenseman, then absolutely go get Marner. Make sure you have to do it. But if I've got a guy who threatens the top five in scoring in the National Hockey League every year, he didn't have great defensive metrics. I don't care.
Brad. I don't care.
He's a guy who threatens the top five in scoring
yep.
every year. You give him a gunner in Tage Thompson. You think that JJ play was sick? That's every night. You're seeing something goofy and crazy and wild. If you give him Kulik and Thompson,
mm-hmm.
because he's played with a certified gunner in Austin Matthews.
Yes, he has. Yep.
And those two work pretty well. So go ahead, give him another American gunner.
This year, Mitch Marner, 23 goals, 91 points.
Thank you.
He is well above.
If anyone wants to argue with me about it, just give me the assist numbers.
Just give me the assist numbers, 68 assists in case you...
Politely be quiet.
So we just had this conversation with our boss in the
That's
break.
Why I said politely be quiet, because he was like, they're not signing Mitch Marner. Let me give you 92 reasons why.
So
not even his goals.
Me and our boss are in agreement. I don't think the Sabres are getting Mitch Marner. I think it'd be fun. I'd like them to be involved in the conversation.
The conversation gets more interesting because I bring up the fact that cash flow
yes.
is again a thing.
Yes. So, but to that point, I want them to be involved in the conversation. I know there's
God, that'd be so fun.
There's a lot of rumblings of, you know, no one tries harder than the Buffalo Sabres because you always hear that they're taking the phones, they're doing all that. I get it. I know. But I am now so locked in on they need help defensively. They need help goaltending-wise. I think Mitch Marner's a fun piece and would help them. I don't want to make it sound
like
he
would
help.
It also would get the community and the Sabres going,
agreed.
Oh, you're agreed. Spending money again.
Agreed. I would so like the big move, though, of the offseason to be defensively because I don't think they need a lot of changes. And to be fair, if you're honestly asking me, do you think the Sabres will sign Mitch Marner or go make a big trade to – you know, get a defenseman, I don't think they're doing both. I think it very quickly becomes they're doing one of them, and they will still need help defensively,
I think
even
need,
if they have Marner.
You need to do one first. You need to get the top four defensemen. If you don't do that, Marner is a bit of a luxury good.
Yeah.
But sometimes you have to pay something to get something.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to hate saying this because you and I are big stands of J.J. Paterka. But if you have to pay the price of J.J. Paterka going to another team and you get a top four fixture, maybe even a top pairing defenseman,
mm-hmm.
potential kind of guy.
I like that you bring up Paterka.
It's Byram insurance.
Yeah.
And you get a guy that plays with power. Then you have to, all of a sudden, you have a hole in your top six.
And there he goes.
You now all see the vision.
I like the
not to be that guy, but what if you don't get Marner? Then you still have a hole in your top six and you just created a different need.
Then I curl up in a ball and cry. What's new every other Sabres season?
Well, I'm just right. saying.
Ultimately, nothing changes, I guess.
Ultimately, nothing changes. Get the luxury good first.
No.
And then go the other way.
Well, I do get that. And remember, Vince had a call yesterday. He threw Tage's name in there, and I said it has to be written in blood that I get Marner. Otherwise, I'm not thinking about it. But the vision that he had was it was about Travis Sanheim.
Yeah.
I saw the vision. I get it. That said, that's where like you need that insurance. One before the other, I look at it as you need the thing that the team needs right now first. They need right now a top four defenseman. They need a guy that might even be Bowen Byram insurance if he doesn't sign with the team long term. Or if the cap number is too high and you got to get rid of him. But you also need it for a guy that can play next to Owen Power and he can right the ship defensively and become the player that we all expected and hoped that he would be.
Mm-hmm.
How do you fix an issue, though? You have to pay something to get something. I'm running on the assumption at this point that somebody in the top six with the Buffalo Sabres might not be here next year. Might not.
Mm-hmm.
You can still do it with other things. For example, a first-round pick. Isaac Rosane is a player that you could think in the conversation. People will throw in Noah Osland. I'm saying no thank you, please. But even then, can he crack the roster? We don't know.
Yeah. It's interesting. I like that you did bring up J.J. Paterka because there have been the rumblings of, will he sign a long-term deal?
And also because there were rumblings at the trade deadline.
Yeah. Yes, there were rumblings. Now, ultimately, I think they kind of
debunked those. Chad DeDominicis saying, chief amongst them, of like, yeah, no, that they weren't really any sort of conversations like that.
But his name has been brought up.
His name has been floated.
It might hurt in the moment. It also could be if you get Marner, and then you're looking at it going, man, and if Paterka wasn't even going to sign here, this is a bonus for everybody. We get the defenseman, you get Marner. It sucks to get
even
rid of Paterka.
Then, you move players down the lineup, though,
mm-hmm.
if you sign a player like a Marner.
Yeah.
Because then Ryan McLeod is a third-line fixture.
Oh, man, he's fun.
Jason Zucker is a third-line fixture.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan Greenway, yeah, it's an overpay to be on the fourth line, but by God, then the fourth line gets on steroids because you've got Krebs and Greenway playing there.
Yeah. It all of a sudden gets really interesting to where they're at.
It gets truly fascinating, and Jack Quinn can move up and down the lineup as needed per injury.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back to the phones. Mike is up next. Mike, how are we doing?
Thanks for taking my call. If you guys sign Marner, are you going to pay him $12 to $13 million a year?
You have to.
Yeah, I think you have to. And ultimately, you're not paying a ton more people big time money. Tage and Norris are your two forwards who are making close to $8 million. They're both at around 7.5. And like we just brought up with the numbers, Mike, thanks for the call. He's got 91 points.
And it's
no one on the Sabres is even close to that. Tage is going to put up 40 goals, don't get me wrong. But in terms of overall offensive points, no one on the Sabres is close to that.
Not even that. No one has been close to that. And Marner has hit 90 points five times in his career now.
Yeah. And Thompson did it.
Sorry, four.
Thompson hit 90 once, right? My screen got blurry. Thompson has done it once.
Yes. You're looking at a guy, though, 94 points in 2018-19, 97 in 21-22, 99 in 22-23, 85 because he missed...
he missed some time.
He missed 21 games.
Some time.
Nope, my math is wrong. Anyway, he missed games. He got 85 points. 85 in 69 games. Now, 91 in 73. He's going to threaten 100.
Small problem. The Sabres have $6.6 million in cap space.
And?
Time to move some people.
Who are you moving?
I'd love the idea of maybe trading Josh Norris.
Yep.
That's fair.
I honestly kind of love the idea. Yeah, I kind of love the idea of trading Josh Norris.
Also, ready? Matias Samuelson's contract.
Samuelson. I mean, there's a big feeling
that
there.
That is the first one I'm moving.
Not to say... he's your quote-unquote top four defenseman, but then you have another defenseman gone. You need to bring another guy in.
That's addition by subtraction, son.
I'm not. I'm saying just a person.
Just a
not
person in
the
general.
Person,
yeah.
A
yeah.
person.
Also, if I get that top, like if I make the exchange to get a top four defenseman, for example, I can go ahead and happily say Matias Samuelson's off the team.
Yeah. So I think
you need to think about buying him out anyway.
And also in every sport, the good teams can work the cap.
Yes.
They can make room to make
figure
big
it
additions.
Out. Thanks for the bucket of water, though, Josh. Really appreciate that.
Right. But ultimately, no. I think there is a way that they can make that work and be fine. It'll be a lot of money. They don't
spend a lot of money, though. That's the problem. I think that's a big part of where I do like the Mitch Marner thing. Give the fan base a shot of adrenaline.
Yes.
Where you're like, hey, this guy. The last time you can honestly say they brought someone in and everyone went, wait, what? Hall. It was Taylor Hall. And it was bad.
Ugh. That turned out to be a terrible mistake.
You bring
but I look at a guy, though, that has been 90 points four times in his career. He's looking at gunning for 100. Ready? The biggest question with him is playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
Ready? I would love to have that conversation.
I'll worry about that later.
1,000% would love to have the conversation of Mitchell Marner being a struggle in the playoffs. Why? Because that means that we will have made it.
Yeah, I'll worry about that 4 years into bad playoff games. I'm dead serious. I will worry about bad playoff games. Yeah, I'll be 34 by the time I actually care about that. I just need them in the playoffs, guys. I don't need to like immediately have those discussions.
Exactly.
Now, back to the original point of the segment for me, I don't think this is happening.
It's probably not.
The cap space plays into it. I also don't totally trust management to really work the cap if they wanted to. And I think defense is such a big need that that will be the focal point, I think, for them.
I trust Kevin Adams' ability. It is what he thinks the vision should be is what I don't trust.
Mm-hmm.
But that said, you have a player that has been overly scrutinized in Toronto. And if they say they bow out to Ottawa in the first round.
There we go, baby. There we go.
Oh, my God, he's not signing with the Leafs. Not a chance in hell. And all I need is something to cling on to hope for. But Samuelson's contract, you move on from that, you suddenly are in a conversation unlike no other.
Mm-hmm.
That's enough to get the ball rolling for me.
We will see. 803-0550, the number to call if you want to join in on this conversation. We go back to the phones. Lee is up next. Lee, you're on WGR.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing very well.
Yeah, I want to make a couple points here, and I want to start off with the Pegulas. I understand with the situation with the Bills, and, you know, when they stepped into the Bills organization, you know, the Bills wasn't, you know, they were on the 17-year playoff drought. And when he took over the Sabres, you know, the Sabres were, you know, trying to get into the playoffs. You take a look right now. I can't even watch hockey games. It's so disgusting. But the thing is, don't you feel like that they need a culture change there? Just like the Buffalo Bills needed a culture change. You don't see Pegula at any Sabres games. I haven't seen him. He's always at Bills games, and it's a good time right now to be an NFL owner because you make a lot of money off of TV revenue, and it just seems like he's making more of his money around the Buffalo Bills and doesn't seem like he really cares about the Sabres. It just seems like it's there on the table on a dinner plate, just like, okay, it's there. We'll see where we go from here. You know, they just don't have a culture, and I feel bad for Lindy Ruff because when he was coaching before, there was a culture here. They had great players. And it just seems like they don't want to spend the money. And maybe that's the NHL's fault because the NFL supplies a very reasonable, affordable salary cap with revenue. And every small market team can spend up to the cap, where the NHL, the contracts are guaranteed. So is it the NHL, the ownership, Kevin Adams? I don't know, but they do need a culture change.
Yeah, Lee, I'm in agreement. They've needed a culture change. I will say, though, on ownership, Pegula has like been notably at more games recently.
Yes.
Which was something that I think for some fans was exciting at the thought of like, ooh, is he showing up when they're
Is he showing frustrations when they're playing bad in front of him?
I will tell you, me personally, and then Derek, I know you want to get your point in here too. I really don't need my owner front and center. We talked to Jerry Jones in the first hour with Sal Capaccio, and while he's been a great, you know, symbol for the NFL, really good businessman for them, if I was a Cowboys fan, I'd be losing my mind almost every day. I don't need my owner front and center. I don't need to hear every time that they care.
At times,
I can find it at times laughable when I hear how much they care. And I don't need it.
As a matter of fact, most times, meddlesome ownership sinks a team.
Yep. Look at the Carolina Panthers in the NFL or the Cleveland Browns
for the longest time. NFL. James Dolan with the Knicks.
Yep. Once he stopped kind of meddling and just let basketball people handle basketball.
Shot Khan with Jacksonville.
Yep.
We were already slam dunking on Jerry Jones with Sal in the first hour.
Mm-hmm.
The more meddlesome your ownership is, the more problematic it seems to get. And the other thing about this, Lee, you mentioned like a breath of fresh air sort of thing. This is why I'm pounding the table about Mitch Marner. It's a signal from ownership to fans. Yeah, we'll spend the damn money.
Yeah, the change is coming kind of deal.
That's what it is. It is an opportunity to do something and tell the fan base and communicate to them, yeah, we hear you.
Love the calls. Got to take a quick time out here as we get you ready for Sabres Live coming up at the top of the hour. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show right here on WGR.
And just so we're Labatt crystal clear, you said...
Oh, I did say...
I didn't know that was a thing from
Letterkenny.
I didn't know that.
I've been saying it a lot lately, and I'm like, you know what? I kind of want to find the clip because, like, I want to make sure I attribute it perfectly. Jared Kiso is awesome. Whether it's from Letterkenny or from Shoresy, it's a
Shoresy's elite television.
Yes, and so I was thinking about something yesterday. Every generation seems to have either a television series or a movie for hockey.
Oh yeah,
Slapshot.
Yep,
Mighty Ducks. Miracle.
I feel like Goons fall somewhere
Goon
in there. Yeah.
And now Shoresy.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a generational hockey film or series for every generation.
I'll agree on that. Yeah.
Youngblood.
Oh, Youngblood's fantastic. I think Youngblood has a Buffalo call out, doesn't it? A shout out?
I think so, yeah.
I think so. I think that's the movie.
But there are so many great hockey films. I wish we had more time to talk about that because, like, we have Josh and Owen sitting in the other room right now. Like, we could rifle off hockey movies till the end of our days.
On sports movies, though, I missed my tradition over the last, like, 6 years. I watch Moneyball the night before opening day.
Mm-hmm.
I have yet to do it. I have to do it this weekend. I've been, I know. I'm getting a thumbs down from Josh. I've been, like, watching clips on YouTube, like, waiting for, like, all right, I've got, like, 2 hours. I can throw it on. Such a good movie. So many good sports movies. That's a conversation for summer.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely a conversation for summer of, like, the generational hockey movies and everything like that. But, like, the Letterkenny clip, I was just like, yeah, you know what? I said it earlier today. I kind of want to play it back.
Got to bring it back up.
I got to bring it back.
One of the few things we can play on the air from Letterkenny.
Yes.
That's absolutely right.
1,000%.
That's absolutely right.
because Daryl is saying Valentine's instead of Tynes. Not N.
Mm-hmm.
And that's him going... Just to be a little bit crystal clear.
So good. That's really good.
Yes, it's good. Everything about it is good. But I think that's going to do it for us here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. He's Zach Jones. I'm Derek Kramer. Josh Schmidt has been on the board. Sabres Live coming up next with Brian Duff and Marty Baron. Maybe they can talk in some Mitch Marner talk. I don't know. But the Sabres had a good night last night. This is WGR.